Thanks, Joel. Yeah, Joel said that I have an evangelistic heart. It's true. So don't feel like if I get a bit intense, if I get a bit like pushy, like don't take it to heart. It's just I'm just keen to see people come into the kingdom. But yeah, take it to heart. Hold it. And then go and do it. I'm just going to pull up some notes. Awesome. Yeah, so God's been taking me on a bit of a journey. Ever since I came into give my life to God, I've been on a journey, I suppose. But just the last couple months, probably about 3 months ago, I was reading James, and I've read it a bunch of times, but just this one time I was reading it, and 1 James 22 to 25 say something pretty straight, hey, and it just really spoke to me. And it says, from 22, it says, "But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says, otherwise you are only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it is like glancing at your face in the mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like." And when I read that, I was like, oh, just, it was like a knife into my heart. And I was just like, I really don't want to be a person who reads the word of God and doesn't obey it. I don't want to be a person who has all this head knowledge but is not actually living it out. I don't want to be a person who people have to ask, are you a Christian? Like, I want them to know that I'm a Christian by my actions. And so as I was reading that, I was just like, oh, that's awesome, that's so good, God. And then I flicked over to Philippians, and I got to Philippians 2, and I started reading Philippians 2, and I was like, oh man, that's so good. And as I was reading Philippians 2, I was like, man, this is just awesome. And it's about having the attitude of Christ. And then there's another part that says, shine brightly for Christ. And then the next day I woke up in the morning and I opened my Bible and I was like, oh, Philippians 3 today. Looked at Philippians 3 and God's like, no, Philippians 2. I was like, oh, okay. So I started reading Philippians 2 again. And so it's been about 3 months and I've been reading Philippians 2 every day for about 3 months now. And God's like, I want you to actually become this. I want you to live out this word. And I don't want you to just read this and then move on and then forget about what I've said to you. And so, like, even, it was funny, a couple of weeks ago, Morag was sharing. And she was sharing about how she reads the Bible once a year, but, like, the whole Bible through. And she's done it for, like, 11 years straight or something now. And I was like, oh, God, maybe I can read the Bible through. And he's like, yeah, after you finish Philippians 2. And I was like, oh, I was like, maybe 10-year journey. But but it's good. Like, it's cool. And God's taking us on a journey. Hey, and he doesn't want us to just glance over his word or just get into the habit of just reading his word and getting through the next chapter to get to the next chapter. Like, he wants us to get to focus on the things that stand out to us, you know, and the things that speak to our hearts. And so Philippians 2 has been speaking to me big time. So I just want to kind of share with you guys a little bit about that. But as well, just encourage you guys tonight. Like, I just want it to be an encouraging message. And then, yeah, from there we'll just see where Holy Spirit takes us. But so Philippians 2:2-5, I'm just going to read that. So it says, "Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of yourself or thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out for your own interests, but take interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had." And I read that and I'm like, whoa, that's intense. That's hard. it's going to take me a long time to finish Philippians 2 when I read that. But it's like the attitude that Christ had, I try and think about how he acted and the way that he responded to people. And it was always out of love. Like, everything he did was out of love. He was going after the one. He was always seeing someone who was rejected or hurt or sick or ill or dealing with bitterness or unforgiveness or demons. And he was always going after those people because he loved them and he wanted to see them set free. And so I'm like, Jesus, how do I take this on? What does that look like for me? And he's like, well, I've shown you because I've lived it out. I've done it before. And so all we have to do is actually just look at the Gospels and read how Jesus did it and live that out. But I got a bit of a story. I was on this plane, and this is probably maybe 2.5 years ago, and I was flying to New Zealand, and I remember, like, just before I got on the plane, I was like, oh, Jesus, just thanking God, and I was just so stoked. I was going over there to do some ministry, and I was really excited about it, and I was excited about going and sharing Jesus, and it was at a time where I was just like, I swear I was like laying hands on anything that moved. I was just like, I was going after healing and stuff a lot, and it was good. But I don't know about where my heart was in that place. I was kind of like probably more going after the healings rather than loving that person. But that's all right. God still loved them enough to heal them and loved me enough to use me. But in that time, I was on the plane, and I'm sitting on the plane. I'm like, God, I just pray you'd put someone next to me that I can just share your gospel with, I can just talk to. And I'm like, that would just be awesome. And then, so I'm sitting there just praying, thanking him. And then I seen this Muslim couple start walking down the plane. And straight away, I'm just like, hey, they better not sit next to me, God. Like, if you put them next to me, God, I'm going to be dirty at you. And so my attitude straight away was like, not the attitude of Christ. Hey, I was almost dirty at God for these people walking on the plane. And I knew that he was going to sit them next to me before they were like, probably like 20 meters away, and I'm like, there was heaps of spare seats, but I just knew, like, God's sense of humor. And so sure enough, they sit next to me, and I'm like, whoa, like spewing at these people. And I'm like, how can I talk to these people about God? They have their own idea about God. They have their own religion. Like, they're not going to listen to me. And so sitting there just stewing, and then I was looking over, and the lady, she's like just rubbing her neck, and she had this like pain in her neck, and all of a sudden, like, I felt like Holy Spirit just took over and was just like, no, you need to love this lady, you need to show her my love. And I was just like, well, how do I do that? And he's like, you're looking at her with a sore neck, mate, like, just do it. So I'm like, all right. And then, so I was like, hey, like, this first thing I said, I was sitting against the window, and she was sitting in the aisle seat. So I'm like, hey, do you want to sit on the window seat, and maybe you can, like, put a pillow and rest your head, like, you look like you're in pain. And she was just like, oh, that would be awesome. And I was like, cool, yeah. So we, like, switched seats. And I actually kind of like the aisle seat anyway because I can go to the toilet easy and stuff like that. But so that was my little bit of my attitude there as well. But it was convenient for me, but good for her. But then so she sits there, and I'm like, cool, all right. And then God's just like, that's not good enough. Like, I want you to represent me. You know, you're representing your father here. You know, that's your job. And so I'm sitting there, and I just started talking to them, and I'm like, hey. Oh, and she goes to me, so she goes, oh, you must believe in God. Like, you're really kind, like, because I let her sit in that seat. And I was just like, oh, yeah, I do believe in God. And she was like, oh, we believe in God too. And I was like, oh, awesome. And I didn't know much about Muslims or their faith or anything. Like, didn't really look into it, haven't ever really looked into it. But because I found the truth. So I just look into that. But so this lady, she's sitting in the seat, and she's asking me, telling me that she believes in God, and I only know one God. So I'm like, that's awesome. Like, and I'm like, so you believe in Jesus too, hey? And she's just like, yeah, we believe in Jesus. And I was like, what? What's the difference between us then? Like, what's the big deal about? And then I'm like, so you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? And she's like, oh, nah, like, Jesus is a prophet. He was a good man. And I was like, oh, I just clicked. There's the difference, you know. They don't believe that Jesus was God on earth. And I was just like, in my head, I'm just thinking like, okay, like, all right, Jesus. And then he's just like, her neck. And I was like, okay. So I said to her, like, oh, how long have you had pain in your neck for? And she said, oh, long time. And I said, oh, do you pray for it? Like, do you ask your God for your healing, you know? And the husband's like, yes, I pray for her all the time, and started like telling me how he prays for her all the time for her neck to be healed. And I was like, oh, that's awesome. And I said, look, can I pray for you right now? And I said, look, I really believe Jesus is going to heal you right now. And he was just like, oh, no thanks, straight away. And I was just like, well, what have you got to lose, mate? You know, and I was like, it's not you, it's your wife, you know. And she was just like, yeah, I want my neck to be healed, like shut your mouth, like. But so then I was just like, look, I'm just gonna place my hand on your neck. Is that all right? She's like, yeah, that's cool. So I put my hand on her neck, and I was just like, Jesus, I just thank you that it's all about relationship with you, and you're the only way to the Father. And I started like, so I totally forgot about her neck for a while, and then God's like, her neck, mate, like. So I was like, oh, and I was like, God, and just heal her neck too right now. Just do it, whatever you have to do, God. And, you know, finished. And then she's just rubbing her neck and moving it around. And I'm like, how is it? And she's like, it's good. And her husband's like, what do you mean it's good? I pray for you every day. And he starts telling her off for being healed. And I'm like, mate, like, Jesus is the only way. Hey, like, he loves you guys so much. And he wants you guys to know the truth, you know. And he was just like, righto, mate, whatever. But you don't know the seed you plant, hey, and you don't know, like, when you have the attitude of Christ and represent him, how much that affects people's life later on. Like, she's probably still walking healed today, going, Jesus healed me in a Muslim place. You know what I mean? Telling other Muslims about Jesus who healed her. So who knows? Who knows? She could be walking with Jesus. She could be preaching in a church right now. But God's so good, and I really believe that, you know, sometimes we don't see the fruit straight away, but it's not our job to choose where we scatter the seed. You know, we're just the seed scatterers. So just scatter it and let Jesus choose where it falls and how he chooses to the next person to water it and to make that seed grow. But so just having the attitude of Christ. Like, my attitude at the start of that was so bad. It was so like, oh God, what have you done? What are you doing to me? But then Jesus came and he just showed me, like, man, when you represent me well, like, you need to represent me to everyone, not just to who you think is good. And so I started to try my best to represent Jesus. And there's definitely days where I don't represent him well at all. And we're still on that journey of trying our best to become more like him, more and more like Jesus. But it's fun. It's fun being in the kingdom and representing Jesus. And you feel good too, like, just, I don't know why. But it's good. But so, yeah. And I think about Jesus' heart and his thoughts. And constantly Jesus is talking about unity and being one with the Father and one with each other. And, you know, John 15 talks about abide in me and I'll abide in you. Like, I'm the vine, you're the branches. And my Father will prune back so that you can bear more fruit. And then, you know, in John 17, when Jesus is praying for us, and he's praying that we would be in unity with each other. And that's his heart for us. That's how he wants us to be as a church, you know. And we want people to come into the kingdom, and we want people to come into Christianity and go, wow, these people are together. These people are solid. We don't want them to come in and be like, man, these guys are mixed up. They have no idea where they're going. They're leading five different directions. There's no direction. You know what I mean? Like, and so Jesus' mind was always one. Like, that's, he was one with the Father, one with each other, one with people. And that's how we represent God well, you know, as a church whole. The way that we represent Jesus is to be one with each other, to be in unity. And I just love that. I just love that thought. And I'm like, how do we get there, God? How do we get to that place? And I think, to be honest, one of the biggest things is communication. I remember when me and Hannah first got married, we talked about communication had to be the number one thing for us so that we could be in unity. Like, Hannah was like, to the point where, like, we share each other's thoughts with each other, you know. Like, I don't want to be thinking of stuff that Hannah doesn't know about, you know. Like, I want her to know everything. And that's where we should be with each other. Like, we should be in that place of, like, of just, we know where we're going. We know we're going to back each other up, you know what I mean. We know what each other's, what drives us, and what's taking us to the next place together, you know what I mean. Does that make sense at all? Am I, like, kind of getting confusing? Yeah, right. I'm going to go on to this next bit. Oh, hold on a sec, actually. No, sorry, I want to keep talking about this. Why don't I keep talking about having the attitude of Christ? But, yeah, I just actually want to share a little bit of my past a little bit. Yeah, so I was brought up in a Christian family and stuff, and lived in a good home, and my grandfather was a missionary, and Dad was a missionary, and Dad was a pastor for a bit, and when I was about 13, I got baptized, and then I decided that Christianity wasn't for me, and Christianity wasn't that fun, and so I walked away from God, and for about 6 years, I just used drugs and messed myself up real bad, and to the point where I had all the, like, I was almost like, just no soul, there was nothing there, like, you look at me in the face, and you couldn't see anything, there was nothing in me. I didn't care about people, I didn't care about myself, wasn't really good with my family at all. I was stealing from them, and I was everything was for myself. Like, I was like, just, yeah, using drugs for myself, selling drugs for myself, forcing other people to do stuff. It was full on. And when I was about 19, I had an overdose, and I was frothing on the ground and stuff, and I come to, and I remember being in this place of like, man, there's got to be more to life than this. Like, what is this? What am I doing? And I remember calling Mumsy, just like, Mom, I need help. You need to come get me. And she was like, all right, sweet. So she jumped in the car straight away, come and got me, told my friends that they were losers. And then she dragged me out of the house. And then, and she just said to me, like, son, we love you so much, but we can't get you to where you got to go. You have to choose that, and you have to get proper help. And so they sent me to this place called Odyssey House, which is a drug rehab. And it was full on there. There was a lot of stuff going on that was messed up. There's a lot of drugs being used in that place. Every single person there was court ordered to be there. They all had ankle bracelets on so they couldn't run away. Or it was an easy parole for them to get out of prison early. So they'd go there, and I was the only one who was there to voluntarily, and I got real angry in that place, and like, just lost it one day, and they told me that I was detrimental to other people's recoveries, because I was very angry, and I didn't understand that, because I was like, you've got guys smoking meth in front of me, and then I'm detrimental to their recovery because of my anger, and I was like, man, the world is messed up, and so I just like, I got asked to leave, so I left, and I did all right for about 7 months, and then I got caught up again, and I think the thing that I got caught up in was my own guilt and shame of my past, and I couldn't deal with that, and so I went back to drugs, and within 2 weeks, I was using every day again, and then I remember Mum saying to me, oh, son, we're so proud of you, you're doing so well, and just this, like, again, just this guilt, shame, and like anxiety and depression just fell on me, and I was like, what am I doing? And I said to Mum, like, oh, Mum, I'm a mess again. And she said to me, oh, all right, like, you're, because when I left the first rehab, my agreement with my old man was, I promise I'll do well, and if I don't, I'll go to another rehab. And then, so he was like, well, we had an agreement, mate, you know. And then my grandfather knew a guy called Alan Davidson. They were in Papua New Guinea together, and he came back and he started a place called Teen Challenge up in Toowoomba. And so I decided that I would come to Australia, the land of beautiful girls and surfing beaches, to sort myself out. And I ended up on a farm in Toowoomba, and I was devastated because I'd only seen the beaches of Australia. But while I was there, Jesus started to tap on my door and knock on my door. There was a guy up there called Bob Henderson, and he would just constantly just read the Bible to us boys and explain stuff. And I would like search this thing for like the messed up stories and the stuff that I thought was like just ridiculous. Oh, I shouldn't share one story, but there's I'll share it. There's a it's Sunday night. There's a the story of Abraham, you know, and his nephew, and like they leave, is it Sodom, and because the place is going to get destroyed, and then he's like in these caves, and his daughters get him drunk to have babies, and I'm like, what? That's messed up. And I like, so I went to this guy and I'm like, what the hell is this in the Bible? Like, this is sick. And I'm like, you guys are a bunch of sickos. and straight up. And he's just like, mate, that's not God. He's like, that's man, that's you. And I was like, don't call me incest. That's like, and he was like, nah, serious, mate. He's like, this is us. He's like, God's not hiding our faults. And he's like, God's not going to write a perfect book for us to. He's like, mate, this is our mess and our mistakes, and he's showing us how good and gracious he was and how much he loved us to take us through that and take us out of that. And I was like, wow, that was a good answer. And then I was like, so where are the dinosaurs in the Bible, bro? Explain that. and I can't remember the answer he gave me, but in the end he was just like, mate, you're going to keep asking me these stupid questions, or are you going to give your life to Jesus and let him answer them for you? And he's like, look, he might not answer them all straight away, but I'm sure he'll do it over time. And if not in this lifetime, when you get to heaven, you'll probably be so consumed in how good he is, you won't have any questions. And I was like, oh, fair enough. And so then I'm kind of like an all or nothing kind of guy. So I'm either all in or all out. And I gave my life to Jesus that day. And I remember asking him just, so what do I got to do then? And he's like, well, there's no certain thing you've got to do. It just says believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. And I said, well, I don't really believe yet, but I'll confess with my mouth and we'll see what happens. So I did, and Jesus just took me on this journey. I got glued to the Bible. I got glued to this thing. And when I finished Teen Challenge, I decided that I'd do an internship and go to Bible college and help other people get off drugs. And so I did that. And while I was at Bible college, Jesus started to deal with my past. And he started to put the attitude of Christ onto me, and he started to teach me about that and what that really looks like. And even got out, finished Bible college, then I came to this church, and I met Hannah, and then God told me to let Hannah go, and I was like, thought I just really liked her. And then she went over to Africa, and while she was over there, there was a thing here called Kingdom Life School that was running, and Dave and Joel were running that. And so I was at that, and I had this encounter when I was there. And I was, I was just lying on the ground. I think Dave was just preaching, just talking, and we were supposed to be listening, but I was just like lying on the ground, just hanging out with Jesus. And he showed me this picture, and I was just sitting there, and in this image, I was like dressed in this robe that was just disgusting. Like, it just had stains, it had like spew on it, and it was like just foul, and I could even like almost smell it, like it was really bad. And Jesus just appeared in front of me, and he was just like beaming, just so excited to be with me. And I looked down, and all this guilt and shame, and I was like, oh, I felt so bad being in his presence wearing what I was wearing. And he just goes, what are you doing, mate? He's like, take that off. And so I took it off, and then he gave me his robe, and I put on his robe, and I was just like clean as. And I just remember going, wow, this feels good. Like, this is legit. And he goes, man, you don't have to wear that stuff anymore. Like, he's like, that's why I died on the cross. I paid for that. He's like, don't put on that old jacket anymore. That's mine. I died on the cross for that. And I was just like, why would you do that? That's disgusting. But but he did, because he loves us. We were the joy set before him. And so in that time, I got to experience, and I still am experiencing it, life without guilt and shame. And you can't have the attitude of Christ if you're walking around with guilt and shame and anxiety and depression. And it's really hard. It's really hard to see yourself in righteousness if you're wearing this crap. And I shouldn't say that from the Bible. Sorry, guys. Sorry, Lord. But but seriously, like, when we're wearing like the stuff that this world has to offer, we have no place in God's presence, you know. And it's like he still allows us to come into them because Jesus died on the cross and he wants us to come and meet with him and take off our dirty robes and put on his robe. And so yeah, I think right now, if anyone here right now is dealing with depression, guilt, shame, anxiety, unforgiveness, bitterness, anger, just resentment, disobedience, anything like that, like I want to pray for you guys tonight. I'm going to pray right now. I'm not finished yet, but I'm just going to pray right now for those people. So Father God, right now, just you know who we are, Father. You know exactly where we're at. You know where we are in life. You know our journey that we're on, God. You know how messy we look. And I just pray right now that you would just cleanse us, that you would just wash us right now. And we just take off our dirty jackets, our dirty robes, and we just put on your righteousness, God. And we just say thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for that, for us. That we could walk in your freedom, that we could walk in your presence, God. That we could walk beside you, that we could be in unity with you. Yeah, so Jesus, we just put on that right now. In Jesus' name. Awesome. So good. In the second part of Philippians, it talks about shining brightly for Christ. And I love the first bit so good because it's like, how can you shine brightly for Christ if you're not, if you don't have Christ, if you don't have the attitude of Christ? You can't shine brightly with him. So it's good that it's like in order. It's good. Jesus is good. He knows what he was doing. But so Philippians 2:14-15 goes, do everything without complaining and arguing so that no one can criticize you. Live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people. Then it says, hold firmly to the word of life. Then on the day of Christ's return, I will be proud that I did not run the race in vain and that my work was not useless. So that's Paul, what he's saying to the Philippians. But that's pretty hard to do, eh? To do everything without complaining and arguing. That's pretty hard to do. And then living as bright lights in the world full of crooked and perverse people, like, it's pretty hard to do, and the only way that we can do that is with Christ. There's nothing that we can do. There's no works that we can do that makes us right with him. It's because of the cross. It's because of what Jesus did. And so if there's like something that you're trying to do to get right with God, like, I'm sorry, but that's probably not going to work. The only thing that's going to get you right with God is just asking for Jesus to come into your life and just making you new. And I think so often we try and do these things in our own strength, and we try and do all these good things, and sometimes they're not actually God things. You know, it seems like a good idea at the time, but is it actually what he's told us to do, you know? And I think sometimes we just jump into things and we start doing things because it looks like a good idea, or it makes me look good while I'm doing it. And I don't want to be a person who does things because it makes me look good. I want to do things because it makes him look good. Yeah, and I think that's what it's about at the end of the day. We're here to give God glory. We're here to give Jesus glory. And so if we get it in our heads that we're not here for ourselves, but we're actually here for him and others, man, life is flipping awesome. And it becomes fun, and it actually becomes so good. And you get out of that place of depression, and you get out of that place of, God, I'm just waiting for you to do something. I'm just going to wait for your wind to blow me into a job. You know, that just doesn't happen, man. I'm serious. Jesus does not like work like that. He's just like, man, just do it. But, yeah, I want to share a vision with you guys that I had. I might even illustrate, like, but this is the vision. This is a vision that I had. And it wasn't the tithe bucket, but it was a bucket on my head. And I walked into church with this bucket on my head, and there's a little table at the front door, and I took my bucket off and I put it on that table. And then I walked in here and I was like, hey, with my bright shining face. How you going? Good? Yeah, mate, yeah. And then as I was leaving church, I stuck the bucket back on my head and walked straight back out into the world. And in this vision, God was just like, man, take your bucket off your head. And I was like, whoa, that's pretty full on. But seriously, we can walk around with buckets on our heads, and like, it seems ridiculous. I'm serious. But if you're not shining for Christ, if you're coming to church on a Sunday because it's a Sunday and you're not actually living this out throughout your week, you're walking around with a bucket on your head. Like, seriously. And that might be a bit straight, but it's the truth, hey. And I don't want to be a Sunday Christian. I don't want to be like what it says in James 1 where, you know, we look at ourselves in the mirror then forget who we are. Like, I don't want to be that person. I want to be someone who reads the word and lives it out daily. Not lives it out on a Sunday because it's a good day to live it out and it's easy because we're around a whole bunch of Christians on a Sunday. It's really easy to be a Christian around Christians, hey. Really easy. And it's awesome, and I love that. And that's how it should be. Like, we should be with each other constantly and be around each other and build each other up. That's awesome. But then we're called to go into the world. It doesn't say be in the world, but it doesn't say be of the world, but be in the world. And we're called to shine like Jesus in the dark places. And it's hard to do, like, when you're not around Christians and you're in a workplace where, you know, people are talking around. I'm blessed because I'm not in that kind of workplace. I work with Gully and he's like just top guy. But no, we're in a Christian building environment, and it's awesome. It's awesome. And so there's not much rubbish that goes on our work site. But, you know, I hear of places, and like, you go to the gym or you go to anywhere, and there's just rubbish going on all around us constantly. And it's so easy to be dragged down. And I remember when I first got saved, I was like ready, like at Teen Challenge, 3 months in. I was ready to fly home and go and tell all my mates about Jesus and get them all saved. And Mum explained it to me that you're walking up the steps, mate. They're at the bottom of the steps. It's easier for them to pull you back down the steps than for you to pull them up. So she's like, get to the top of the stairs, get a solid footing, and then start pulling them up. And I was like, all right, cool. And that's how it is, eh? Like, we need to be solid. We need to be in that solid place. And the only way we get into that solid place is by spending time with Jesus in that one-on-one place. Like, not just here on a Sunday because everyone's watching me, and like, not just doing these ones. Checking if your girlfriend's looking at you with your hands up. Like, it's like, it means nothing to God. Hey, like, seriously. And I'm sure I've done that before. Like, checked if Hannah was watching me with my hands up. Like, but you know what I mean? But it means nothing to God. God's just like, what is this? Like, he's like, man, I love you. Like, just be in a place of, you're with me, and don't worry about who's around you. And it's hard to do that. It's hard to lose the fear of men. And I think as Christians, that's something that a lot of us struggle with. We struggle with, what does the guy next to me think? Am I going to look like an idiot if I go to ask to pray for this person and they shut me down? Yep, probably, but who cares? I was working with Luke and Caleb the other week, and there's this lady and she had a sore knee, and I went straight up to her at the end, and I was like, she's telling us about her sore knee, hey, and I was like, oh, like, look, oh, we believe in Jesus, can I pray for you? And she was like, keep your thoughts to yourself. And I was like, oh, like, and Luke just cracked up. That was so funny. It was so good. Did you get to go back and pray for her? Yes. So we both shut down together. But we don't know the seed that we planted. We don't know where she's at right now, if she's healed right now. She might be sitting at home going, man, why do those boys want to do that? What was that all about? Oh, I've got that Bible in the back cupboard. I'll go and check it out, you know. We don't know what's happened. And oh, man, where am I going with this now? But I just, I just feel like so often we walk around with buckets on our heads, hey. And Jesus just wants us to take them off. He wants us to walk in the image of Christ. He wants us to to walk out this walk, like really walk it out, not just talk about it and then it sound like a good idea and talk about it with your mates and have all the right answers because we've read this. It's like in that movie, I think it's Tokyo Drift, and the guy, he rocks up and he's got this old banger of a car, but it's pretty cool. It's like goes pretty fast, and the other guy's got this like Corvette or something, and the guy's like, "There's like 350 horsepower, da 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 da," and the guy's like, "Cool, you can read the manual." He's like, "But can you actually drive it?" And I think it's the same with the Bible. Hey, like, are we just reading this manual, or are we actually like living it out? Are we driving it? You know? And I want to be a church that drives this thing, that really lives out this thing, that really sees Nambour changed. And we've been talking about it for a long time, and it sounds like such a good idea. And I reckon let's just do it. Let's just go out there and just start really living it out. Start really changing it, and let our actions show that we're Christians. Let the way that we bless people show that we're Christians. Me and Hannah were reading an article the other day. What's the church called? Collective Church in Brisbane. And there was this article about this guy, and him and a couple of leaders in the church, it's about 10 of them, have decided that they've started this bank account, and every time that they want a coffee or go to the movies or go out for dinner or buy new clothes, that instead of doing those things, they'll put that money into this account. And then every time that there's a believer that's in need, a Christian that's in need, they'll just pull out of that account straight away, like without hesitation, without questions, and they'll just help that person. And it's all about the book of Acts. When you read the book of Acts, it talks about how no believer was in need. No believer was struggling because they would just all help each other out. And so these guys are like, let's stop just talking about Jesus and let's start doing it, you know. And I was just so encouraged by that. And me and Hannah were like, these guys are awesome. And I'm like, what are we doing? Let's start an account. Like, I was like, but it's just so cool. And when we get inspired by people to, and we hear about their stories, it's like, you can actually go and do that too. Like, you don't have to go, oh, that's their idea, I'm going to wait for my idea. Just steal their idea. It's all good. Jesus will back it up. But oh, actually, I just contradicted myself a little bit. Make sure it's a God idea, not a good idea. But but you know what I mean? Like, when you read something like that and you get inspired about it and you're like, wow, that's awesome. Maybe God's speaking to you and saying, hey, how about you do that? How about you try that? You know, we read about these guys like Todd White and Dan Moeller and, you know, all these Bill Johnson, all these amazing guys who are like, you know, laying hands on the sick and they're doing all these amazing things, running huge crusades. And I'm like, why don't we just do that? You know, and you ask those guys, where did you guys start? And every single one of them will say, oh, I started with the one. I started going after the one. I started praying for the one. And Ben Fitzgerald is a guy, he's come here a few times. He made a promise to God that every single day of his life, he's going to tell one person that Jesus loves them. And like a couple of times he said he got up to like almost midnight and he'd just run outside in his undies and find someone to tell that Jesus loves them. He had to do it because he told the Father. And man, this dude is thriving. His ministry is going off. He's doing Awakening Europe he's doing Awakening Melbourne actually at the moment. And they've like booked out a stadium in Melbourne. Yeah, it's happening here. It's happening in Australia. And so often we hear of these miracle stories and these cool things and we think, oh, that's in third world countries. And Dave comes back from Fiji and he says, oh, we cleaned out the emergency ward and stuff. And I'm like, let's do it in Nambour. Let's go up there. Let's clear it out. And like, it's happening here too. Hey, like Jesus is moving here, whether we like it or not. And the other week in the morning, I stood up and was just sharing a little bit about jumping in the river, and getting in the river and just going, like not stopping and not waiting for God to blow on us and for something magical to happen, but for us to actually just jump on into his plan and just go after it. And so, yeah, that's my just encouragement for you guys tonight and just challenge for you guys tonight. Just Yeah, put on the attitude of Christ and then shine it. Let it shine. Don't put a bucket on your head when you leave this place. Yeah. If the one thing that you remember is the bucket thing, like, just let it be. That's a good thing. But yeah, I'm just gonna pray for us. If you guys want to stand, we're just gonna pray and just, yeah, we'll just see where Holy Spirit goes. Yeah, Holy Spirit, just come. Just come and just fill us up so much that nothing that we're holding on to can stay. I just pray that, God, we'd just let go of everything that we have in our own minds that seems like a good idea. And God, we just want to grab onto your God ideas. And I pray that you would just drop ideas into our heads. You would just give us strategies and ways to take back ground, to take the kingdom, to really go after it, God. And I pray that you would stir us up, God, and just give us a passion, Father, to want to shine brightly for you, to want to put on the attitude of Christ, to not hide, to not have a fear of man. And I just pray, God, that we'd leave this place and we wouldn't hide the light that you've given us, God, but we'd walk straight into those dark areas and that place would just be exposed with your truth, God. I pray that we would be people of the Word, Father, that we'd be so solid in the Word of God that when distraction comes, when people come who twist the truth, that it wouldn't sit right with us, God, and we'd be able to see it straight away because we know your Word. And Father God, I just pray that we'd just be, yeah, just men and women of the Word of God, because we just know that that's probably the only thing that's really, really, truly solid, that you are the only thing that's truly solid, Jesus. And as Hebrews 12 just talks about at the end, you're shaking this place. You're shaking the nations. And anything that's not solid is just going to fall away. And I think it was Tim had a vision this morning of a boat with barnacles all on the bottom. And you were just scraping the barnacles off Jesus. And so all that stuff that we hold on to, all that bitterness and anger and just unforgiveness and suicidal thoughts and all that stuff that we carry, I just pray that you would just take that from us right now in Jesus' name. And Jesus, I just pray that you would just have your way in this place tonight, that none of us would leave the same, that none of us would leave as we came in, but we'd just be keep getting transformed into the image of Christ, but we'd keep going after you, we'd just keep wanting to look more like you. And I pray that we'd represent you well, God. Pray that we'd represent you well, Father. Yeah. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good one, Sammy. Thanks, buddy. I just got this image of a bunch of people walking around Nambour running into telephone poles and stuff because you got this bucket on your head and you can't see where you're going. But no, that's done. That's done. You know, there are testimonies of people who actually, out of the presence of the Lord, literally glow in the dark. You know, I mean, it happened with Moses back in the day. I think it's going to happen more and more as the day comes closer and closer. But it's a great illustration of the fact that you guys have Christ within you. You got Jesus in you. He is the perfect outshining of the Father. He's in you. He needs to shine out of you. Where you go, darkness has to flee. And so, heads up. Buckets off, and the beauty of Jesus just come forth in Nambour. I mean, it's going to be like salt and light. It's going to be just a beautiful, beautiful flavor for the Lord. The other image I got of when you took off the smelly, you know, spew-ridden, you know, robe, you know that one? You know that sensation you get when you get into clean sheets? You know, nice, crisp. Yeah, everybody knows, huh? You know that? Nice, crisp, clean sheets, and if you're really over the top, ironed sheets. I don't know the last time Gene and I ironed sheets, but you know, some people get into the ironing of the sheets too. You get into that sheet and just slip in between those fresh, clean sheets. It just feels so good. That's what the righteousness of Christ is kind of like. You put that on, it just feels so good. So just be aware of that as you go out tonight. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you, be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face, his countenance upon you, and give you peace and keep you aware of the fact that you wear him wherever you go. Bless you guys. Yeah, one more thing.
One more thing real quick. The Bible talks about being the salt of the earth. And when I first read that, I was like, I don't really like salt. And then we were talking about it today, and I realized how good salt really is. And salt brings out flavor and stuff. Salt, what's the word? Preserves. That's the word I was after. Looks after stuff. It actually changes environments. People use it to melt snow and stuff. But salt is like this incredible thing. I reckon it actually, salt helps. Like, you know, when you've got a cramp and you chuck salt on your tongue and it like gets rid of your cramp. So it's like healing as well. It heals wounds. Yeah, it cleans. It's like a disinfectant. There's so many good attributes to salt. I'm like, come on. Salt of the earth. We are the salt of the earth.
Thank you, Sam. Awesome. God bless you guys. Have a good week.